listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
He's in LA. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on a Friday. And on a Friday that includes Pickpalooza, a look at every game in the NFL, a look at the Cowboys and the Eagles and the injury status of Dak Prescott and how that impacts that game. We do start in the world of college football for the Vegas lead.
Yes, the lead story from Las Vegas. And this is breaking news. And it's what's great about a live show. And that story is suspensions, Florida Atlantic. Now, you might say, who cares, Florida Atlantic? Well, it's probably the second biggest bowl game of the weekend.
It is, RJ, and six starters out for Florida Atlantic, including Florida Atlantic's top three receivers, their leading rusher, Florida Atlantic's leading tackler, and a starting defensive end for them. Six starters out for Florida Atlantic, and we've seen a huge, huge line move here, RJ. In the last hour, Florida Atlantic's opponent, SMU, has gone from a three-point favorite all the way up to a nine-point favorite. Six-point line move in less than an hour with the news of those six suspended players.
Okay, so that just is stunning. When I think of 6 points, I think, wait a minute, like Tom Brady in his, you know, a couple years ago, even Aaron Rodgers still today. Fez, how much is Aaron Rodgers worth today?
Aaron Rodgers is worth 8 points just because his backup is so bad, RJ. Horrible backup quarterback.
So this is almost like Herschel Walker style. It's like you got six players, 6 points. One player, 8 points, obviously NFL, but man, it goes to show you quarterback is king. Does the adjustment seem right to you?
It does, RJ, but I do expect it, the line to continue to move. But from on the surface,
so
I'm still reading
into it. What I'm hearing you say is the initial move that the professionals pretty much are making, you think it's right. And that makes sense, right? They're the pros. But you're saying once the public wakes up and goes, oh my gosh, that many suspensions, you're going to get some auto batting
Exactly, RJ. Couldn't have said it better myself. Public will find out most likely tomorrow when they're trying to bet these smaller bowl games, and they'll get the news, and then they don't care about the point spread. The lines already moved. They bet teams, not numbers.
Exactly, and that's the opposite of what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to bet numbers, not teams. That's Brad Powers. We are straight out of Vegas. Breaking news right on Fox Sports Radio. Last question on this game, and we might get a chance to glance at it later. I don't know, but this is – we'll see if necessary. But what I'll say is this. I'm suspicious by nature. Whenever something seems coincidental, I wonder. So, Brad, you did your early line mover this week, and then you had one last week. Was this game involved with any of those?
It was. Last week's line mover was SMU minus three over Florida Atlantic.
And the current line is?
SMU minus nine.
And you're saying this is a coincidence?
Yes, coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did not have any insider info.
What do you think, Fez?
You know, it's curious, with all those bowl games to choose from, 39 of them, I believe, what are the odds that Brad picked the one that moved 6 points? Very suspicious, RJ. Insider trading?
But here's the thing. When he reads nine newspapers a day, I don't think this was in the paper. So I don't know. I'm going to believe him here, Jonas. I'm going to believe him.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I mean, we can believe Brad Powers, but can we believe the Dallas Cowboys, RJ, as there has been conversations about the status of Dak Prescott's shoulder? Now, he was taken off the injury report earlier today as they get ready for their big matchup at Philadelphia, for all intents and purposes, for the NFC East. Right now on pregame.com, though, the line in that game sees the Dallas Cowboys a 2-point favorite.
This falls into what we talked about last week, and it's going to become one of the commandments of sports betting, which is whenever teams attempt to give you information about something that could affect the game, they are attempting to deceive you. That it's just really that simple. Now, if you hear someone say, hey, the GM, the coach, whatever, the owner, if they say, Oh, fractured hand. Quarterback has a fractured hand. Fez, what are you going to think?
I'm going to think that I got fooled because Jameis Winston's fractured hand didn't bother him at all. They lied to me, RJ.
A guy who is so honest and forthright as you, the idea that they would lie to you, listen, I'm sorry. I want to apologize for that. But listen, wake up. Right. This is millions of dollars and eventually billions on team brands. Right. Why are the Cowboys worth whatever? $6-7 billion. Other teams a lot less. Winning, branding. That's what's at stake here. And the NFL, sometimes in some ways, they insist on the truth. But man, not often with these injuries. And if they are OK with the team's line, they're going to lie to get a competitive edge. In fact, I think they'd be derelict in their duty if they didn't. All right? If the NFL didn't force you to tell the truth, why would you tell the truth? How many private companies give you information they don't want you to have about their income, expenses, whatever? We can't even get Netflix numbers on viewership. You know why? Because they don't want us to have them. And you know, if they give any out, it's to their benefit. So let's segue into this Cowboys game. Jonas, what would you say it feels like that's coming from the Cowboys about Dak?
It feels like it's a little bit more serious than they're letting on.
That's your instinct.
Yeah.
I think you're right on. But what the Cowboys are putting out at face value, and Fezzik, a week younger, would have been just gobbling up, is what?
I think the fact that he was taken off the injury report after he hadn't thrown a football all week is a little bit suspicious to me.
You think?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
The guy, I mean, Brad, you made a great point about Dak's history not missing practice.
Yeah, the fact that he's missing practice for the first time in his career, and yet it's kind of mixed signals here. He's off the injury report.
That's the whole point, though, right? Is if it was one of those veteran days, or, you know, everyone's got their own cycle when it comes to how much practice they're doing and not doing and how involved they are with it. Dak has never missed a practice, not this year, not last year, not any year in the NFL. Dak has not missed a practice. And then he misses it this week, all week, and it's like nothing to see here. This, the first time this has happened ever, ignore it, please. Fez, what's your conclusion?
Conclusion is that Dak is going to be compromised, and there's going to be a whole lot of Zeke Elliott running the ball, I think, on Sunday.
And also, RJ, I would say this. Everyone's focusing on just the AC joint issue that he's dealing with. He's also got a hairline fracture in his index finger, his right index finger, and he's got a sprained left wrist. So he's got multiple injuries, and in less than 24 hours, he's just magically completely healthy and ready to go. I don't buy it.
I mean, I don't think Spider-Man could heal that fast, right?
No.
So even right after the atomic spider bit him. Wow. So that's for sure, all those injuries.
100%, yep.
Repeat that one more time.
So he's got a hairline fracture in his right index finger. That hit on somebody's helmet when he released the football. He's got the AC joint issue in the shoulder, which is the most recent that he suffered against the Cowboys. And then he's got a sprained left wrist as well, too.
Whew, Jonas Knott. That's after... I mean, that sounds like a tough 2 weeks in Mexico City.
Yes.
I mean, if you're just like banging around down there, Mr. T style, man, oh, man. That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. All right, Fez, let's look at the marketplace. Current line, Cowboys, Eagles, and obviously this is the game to decide the NFC East.
Yes, and Dallas is -2 at Philadelphia, RJ. The markets are saying Dallas is not just the better team, but the significantly better team.
-2 at Philadelphia. That means they're 5 points better. And I get it. You could say, well, Philly's home field maybe isn't quite three, but rounding up. Now, let's just do a little bit of simple math here. Don't be afraid. Is Dallas is perceived to be right now, the betting market is saying, 5 points better than Philadelphia. Last week, the Rams were perceived to be better than Dallas by 4.5 points. So you add up 5 and 4.5, you get 9.5. So that implies, literally, that the Rams would be 9.5 points better than the Eagles on a neutral field, 12.5 in L.A. Who here thinks the line would be 12.5?
Not me.
Nobody.
And I get it. There's been new, you know, there's been a game since. Dallas got upgraded. Rams got downgraded. But boy, oh boy. It just goes to show you, if you want to win at the NFL, the most profitable way to go about it, the area that offers the most profit, is overreaction week to week. If all you do is say who had the best two teams, let's say they had the best week, those two, who had the worst, those two, and you look to play against the best teams from last week and play on the worst, you don't do it blind. I mean, Fez, I think the listeners could be much worse off than doing that. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely, RJ. And of course, kudos to your call. When everyone else was selling Dallas last week, you made the same speech that you couldn't believe Dallas was an underdog at home against the Rams. If you wanted to bet Dallas and make a big bet, the time to bet them was last week, not this week.
And I think that that's why I actually like the Eagles here a good bit. I know they're banged up, but how would you characterize, Steve, their amount, degree of injury, the amount of injuries on Philly compared to, let's say, the average throughout the year? They've been banged up all year. Is this more, less, about the same?
It's just about the same, RJ. The Eagles are much healthier on defense. They're less healthy on offense, and they have the cluster injuries that everyone is talking about to their wide receivers.
It's just when you have a week to get ready for it, especially after you had those same injuries, the same absences last week, I feel better than I would have last week. And obviously they didn't play great in that game, though they did cover. My last reason for liking Philly here is how good Philly is in pressure games. You go back to 3 years ago, the Super Bowl season, and McKenzie, pregame.com research, broke it down, and they've lost like two quote-unquote must-win games, and otherwise they've been winning. I think it was like 9-2, 10-2, you know, must win by definition. Remember last year they were at LA and they were double digit underdogs in LA against the Rams. They needed a win. They did. I'm not saying it's a sure thing, but I'm saying imagine Dallas tied up with 3 minutes left in this game. What are they feeling in Philadelphia? And what is Philly feeling? Philly's feeling like this is where we're supposed to be. This is our comfort zone. And the Cowboys are thinking, I hope Jerry Jones isn't looking at me right now. Right? I mean, does anyone disagree that if this game is tight at the end, advantage Philadelphia?
100%.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree very strongly, RJ. I mean, let's face it. Garrett is coaching for his job, and that could definitely compromise his play calling in the fourth quarter, maybe a little too conservative. And Peterson, with that job security, I think a much better coach already, and the situation favors him as well.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, meaning these are the players that have won in those spots. They're comfortable there. Dallas, when's the last time they won a really big game? I don't know. It's been a long time. I know it's been 1995 since they were in the championship round even. So there's not a lot of big games before that. All right, when we come back. So I'll go with a like here, not a super-duper best bet, but I'm going to go with a like, RJ, on Philly. And obviously the Dak question marks is just icing for us, just icing, and we're getting 2 points there. When we come back, it's not going to be just a like. Steve Fezzik's biggest best bet of the week.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, so it's the first of several best bets here on Straight Out of Vegas, and for that, it is Steve Fezzik's best bet, where the Cincinnati Bengals are a one-point favorite at the Dolphins.
Yeah, and I like Miami plus the one. I bet the Dolphins plus one. Miami is as good as Cincinnati. Miami is home, and somehow Miami is catching points. Look at Miami recently, 3-4 in their last seven games. Fitzpatrick is playing like a top 10 quarterback. Contrast this with the Cincinnati Bengals, 1-13 on the year. And frankly, the Bengals' losses, for the most part, have not been close. Cincy's last eight losses have been by a touchdown or more. It is a mystery to me why Miami at home is catching the point. I like Miami, and I bet them.
Well, here's my question, though, Fez. One of our basic tenets is if we can't explain the line, we probably don't know something we need to know. So I'm concerned about how irrational this line is.
And I think what's going on here, RJ, is that many of the bettors are looking at Miami with three wins, and they're saying, oh, Miami can't afford to win another win. It's going to hurt their draft prospects. But all I've seen all year long is a Miami Dolphin team that's been trying to win. And let's face
well,
it.
Hold on. Not all year long, but starting game three, maybe, I think, right?
Yes. I had Miami. I was concerned weeks one and two. But just recently, look at that loss to the Jets. They lose by 1 point to the Jets. And Miami's head coach, Flores, is literally chasing the officials into the locker room, complaining about a bad call at the end of the game. This is a team and a coaching staff that wants to win.
I think you're right. And I think the real key is the trend line. Miami feels like they're on a good trend line. They want to keep it going. And obviously Cincinnati doesn't. And I think there's one other factor that benefits you in this game. Cincinnati, not a very disciplined team, not a great coach, maybe the worst coach in the NFL, in Miami, holiday weekend. You think those players really want to be there?
You know, that's strong.
To me, it feels like Distraction City. So all that said, I'm not betting this. I really think these line moves are so curious because you're talking about all the ignorance, but that's not who's moving the line on a Friday morning. I think there's something going on here that we don't know. So we'll see if my suspicions are right. Fez, best bet on Miami. I'm going to sit back and pass, but I'm rooting for Miami.
Well, there are several more games to get into here. It is Pick Palooza on a Friday. Before we do that, I do want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. So let's get it started, guys. We just heard Fez's best bet on the Bengals and the Dolphins. He likes Miami. Let's go to Denver, where the Detroit Lions are at the Broncos right now, and it is the Denver Broncos, a seven-point favorite.
And I'm going to try something new here, Jonas. This is like the distillation of the entire week's work from all of us, and I have a pile of papers, one for each game. After each game, I'm going to do this. I'm going to smack the paper against the mic.
Got it.
And it's just like Letterman throwing the cards. It's just going to be like another one. In this one, I have another conspiracy. I thought it was this weird time for the Lions brass to come out and give voice of support for the coach. And to me, I believe it, but I think they did it now because they probably aren't all that worried about winning. Because what people don't realize is after Cincinnati, Miami, Giants, and Washington, only a half game back from the second pick is Detroit. And oh, by the way, someone's going to win Washington and the Giants. So if Detroit loses out, they literally would probably be over under third pick. I think you're going to see a lot of rookies, a lot of like, let's test some new offensive plays the next two games. I could not bet the Lions.
Speaking of rookies, I And I feel like a little bit of a rookie here, RJ, because it 'tis the season for Saturday night action in the NFL. And we do have three games in the NFL on a Saturday here in the National Football League. And let's get it started with the NFC West battle. It is the 49ers and the Rams, San Francisco, the host, and getting a 6.5-point favorite.
And just, I hope you noticed, Jonas, the way I smoothly handled that, like it wasn't even a mistake. So, you know. I just hope you appreciate it.
I know,
that.
But Brad yelled at me via text.
Well, so but I yeah, that, I mean, again, that's his role, right? I'm the nice guy.
He's the bouncer. I get it.
Here's another premise, guys. Here's some Vegas truth. If a majority of the batters, a strong majority, go one way and Vegas just sits there smiling, doesn't move the line, that means they're very comfortable being lopsided that way. And you know what? You don't want to be on that side long term. Well, almost 90% of the action has been on, in this case, the 49ers. And still the line is below a touchdown. So that tells me one of two things. One, Rams, who still have a chance to make the playoffs, 3%, are going to be extra motivated. Or San Francisco's injuries are worse than I imagine. Fez, which of the two do you think it is?
Yeah, I think it's the D-line problems, the cluster injury San Francisco has. Everyone's aware that Dee Ford is important and he is out, but San Francisco has three other guys on the defensive line that are out for this game, RJ.
So you would say, though, if you had to play this game, you'd play the Rams, right?
Yes.
All right.
RJ, from the NFC West to the AFC East we go on Saturday. It is the Patriots hosting the Bills. New England, a 6.5-point favorite.
This is one of the lowest totals of the year, over-under points for both teams in the 37 range. I haven't looked for a couple hours, Fez, if you can check for me.
37.5.
All right. And I like the under, and here's why. This Buffalo team handled the Patriots' offense very strongly first matchup, even when the Pats' offense was playing better. Now, obviously, the Pats' offense is playing worse. Five straight games, five that Tom Brady has had a QBR below 40. So he's been in the 30s or worse percentile-wise for five straight games. And then you look at the way Belichick has handled Josh Allen in his career so far, and it's like, man, this feels like a low-scoring game. It's a low total, and I think it's justified.
It's a 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoff in Tampa Bay on the NFL Network on Saturday, and it is the Buccaneers and the Texans. Houston, a 3-point road favorite.
Fez, I think this is probably the biggest injury of maybe the season where there's multiple injuries that are being discussed, but not nearly enough for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay really hurting at wide receiver. They have their number one and number two wide receivers out. Well, guess what, RJ? That's Evans and Godwin. Those are two of the receivers that are on the NFC Pro Bowl. That's how important they are. And the number four wide receiver for Tampa Bay, Miller, is out as well. Tampa Bay can't run the ball. I think Tampa Bay is in big trouble with these wide receiver injuries.
And this is the truth. This is not a joke. The third receiver for Tampa Bay this week is named Hyman, and he has one catch on the year, one catch for Hyman. So I'm not anxious to play Tampa, I'll tell you that much. And Jameis Winston has gotten more love in the last week than he's gotten in the last 2 years. I think it's a perfect storm for a bad Tampa performance.
On Sunday, it is the Chargers hosting the Raiders. L.A., a 7.5-point favorite.
Fez, I love history. You've got history here when it comes to home field advantage.
Yeah, this is my lowest home field advantage I've ever had, RJ. I'm only giving the Chargers one point for home field because Raider Nation should take over the stadium here on Sunday.
Yeah, I went back and forth for about 20 minutes on the podcast trying to figure if the LA fans would be mad or not that the Raiders are leaving another, you know, the Oakland again, but not going to LA. I kind of gave up. But my gut feeling is I think that the Raiders fans, once they get drunk, it won't matter. So I'm thinking you are going to hear, and I agree with Fez, a lot of Raiders support in that game.
It is the Jaguars at the Falcons. Atlanta, a 7.5-point favorite.
And I don't think you can underestimate the, and we spent a good bit of time on it yesterday on Straight Out of Vegas, is Tom Coughlin and that firing. I think if anything, it's an uptick. It's an advantage for Jacksonville. And here's why. The players obviously were disgruntled. They weren't happy, the Jacksonville players. So what happens if the owner makes a move? And maybe he should have made it earlier, but if he makes a move to fix it, How could that be anything but a good thing? I was surprised the market didn't move. Fez, is the current market pretty much in the same place? Seven?
It is, RJ. If anything, there's been a little Atlanta money, which shocks me because it seems the Jacksonville players are so happy that the clocks are getting turned back off Coughlin time.
Yeah, so you agree with me. You thought it was an uptick.
Absolutely.
All right, in just 1 minute, we are going to finish every game except my best bet, which will be right after that.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Byer.
Speaking of games, what a game today in the Bahamas.
Snap to Vantrease, read option, handoff, Patterson up the middle, spins, bullseye! Jarrett Patterson is in the end zone for the Buffalo touchdown.
Bowl season officially underway. Paul Peck from Learfield IMG College with that call. Buffalo gets it going with a win over Charlotte today, 31-9. Now, following an investigation by the military, Navy officials found that the hand gestures made by Army cadets and Navy midshipmen were not intended to be racist signals prior to their game last Saturday in Philadelphia. An investigation by the Navy said the students were playing a game and had no racist intent following interviews with more than 24 individuals. No word on the punishments or if there were punishments handed out, but the Navy did say their actions were, quote, appropriately addressed, end quote. Couple of updates from the NFL. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, he's going to start against the Eagles on Sunday, not on the team's injury report, despite being limited with that shoulder injury. A shoulder injury will keep Raiders running back Josh Jacobs out of their matchup against the Chargers, and he also may be out week 17 if the Raiders are eliminated from the postseason. Seahawks won't have Jadeveon Clowney against the Cardinals, doubtful because of a core muscle injury. The only good news for Seattle, linebacker Bobby Wagner expected to play through an ankle injury. The Seahawks lost defensive lineman Al Woods today to a 4-game suspension for PED use. Finally, the Pittsburgh Steelers released safety Cameron Kelly following his arrest early this morning on charges of making terrorist threats at a bar in Pittsburgh. Kelly allegedly threatened a bar employee after his song was skipped on the jukebox. Kelly will also face a charge of resisting arrest after confronting a police officer. Guys, we'll throw it back to you and Straight Out of Vegas.
Thanks, Dan. It is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have a couple of more best bets, your chance to make some money over the weekend in the NFL and college football. Do want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Is it me, or does that sound like the craziest person you knew growing up, and you would tell one story about him? It was like he got in a fight once because they skipped a song on the jukebox. I mean, like, that would be the story.
It's
right?
A good reputation.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going,
James. All right, let's get it going, and we go to Tennessee, where the New Orleans Saints on the road, 2.5 points favorites at the Titans
on the road. And also, Brad, you uncovered something different than usual.
Yeah, in the last calendar year, the Saints have played 18 games. Drew Brees, however, has played outdoors in just one complete game out of those 18.
So they have their home games in the dome, obviously, and Yep. They've got road games, and just by whatever happenstance, by his injuries. So as good as he looked, and he looked great on Monday night, he looked all-time great, Brees Yep. Did, is if he's going to have a problem anywhere, it's going to be the cold. It'll be interesting to watch it.
It is the Steelers at the Jets. Pittsburgh is a 3-point favorite.
And not necessarily the cold, but outdoors. I'm not sure what the temperature is supposed to be in Tennessee. I don't think I've ever been to Tennessee, actually. Fez?
Wow.
What? I haven't. Have you, Brad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Driving through to Florida.
Oh, okay. So you sure you weren't asleep in the back seat with your binky as your parents drove you down?
Sounds about right.
All right, Fez, listen, you look at this and think Pittsburgh overrated.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh offense is really struggling. RJ, the last 7 games, the Steelers have only scored 8 offensive touchdowns. Now, they've gotten 3 on special teams and defensive scores, so that's made the scoreboard look better. But that offense, it's struggling.
So 7 games, 8 touchdowns.
Yes.
Wow. And listen, you cannot count on defensive touchdowns. Jones.
Will Greer is the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers as they are at the Colts, Indianapolis, 6.5-point favorites.
Let's take ourselves into the decision makers post Riverboat Ron's firing and think to yourselves, all right, did anyone think Flipper Allen was going to be next year's quarterback? No, that had done been decided. So why in the heck would they keep playing Flipper when they had a third-round draft choice sitting there that's never taken a meaningful snap, as far as I can recall? It can only mean one thing, that they knew that he wasn't ready, he's not ready, but they're in a situation where they've got to find out what they got, the owner's mandate, and we got to figure these things out. We got to beta test it. I think this is a huge downgrade. Flipper is not great, but I think the team, the Panthers are telling us Greer is not even close to being ready.
The Ravens are 9.5-point favorites at the Browns.
Now, anyone can say, oh, revenge game. Oh, the Harbaughs, one of them smells, they're bullies, whatever it is, right? I think that's all obvious. Here's what's not obvious. That domination of Cleveland early in the year over the Ravens was against what the Ravens consider to be a defense. It's not their defense now. They obviously made the trade for Peters, Smith, the cornerback, back after the Browns game. And this defense has been outstanding since. So now you're in division. Last team to beat you. They dominated you. It's Baker Mayfield. And you got embarrassed, and now you think you've got a different defense, and I think they do have a different defense. I think that you're going to see the Ravens so motivated. One last thing on this game. Why did the Browns do well? Mostly because of putting pressure up the middle, D-line pressure up the middle, which is the way you stop Lamar Jackson or any running quarterback. Oh, by the way, you might recall there's a key player from the Browns not playing the rest of the year because of a certain swinging helmet. I think another disadvantage for the Browns.
To Seattle we go, where the Seahawks are 9.5-point favorites hosting the Cardinals.
To me, Arizona's getting a lot of love because they just had a, you know, obviously a win. And I think it's deceiving. If you look at the first half of the year, and you look at the second half of the year, Arizona's offense is almost 100 yards per game less proficient, gaining less yards. I think perhaps the league has figured them out. Now, I've heard guys I trust say, you know, Arizona's changing up so much every week, it's hard to say the league could catch on to it. Well, maybe they're trying to change up too much and they're running out of good ideas. Whatever it is, trend line is down for Arizona. But it doesn't seem like it to the public because they just won their first game in a long while.
Finally, guys, we go to Sunday Night Football, where the Kansas City Chiefs are 6-point favorites at the Bears.
Trubisky, I wanted to do actually a performance of Trubisky's commentary about his coach. Let's just say this. In a world where being unappreciative, not respecting your coach, not appreciating your infrastructure is rampant, I don't think I've ever seen anything as bad as Trubisky actually critiquing Nagy last week. I'm sure all you guys saw it after the game, and to me, it's a bad sign. I don't know if Nagy's going to let it bother him, but I think the other players are going to be, what's with this ingrate? I think it's a real negative thing, real negative for the Bears, what Trubisky did. I think it could cost him whatever chance he had to ultimately be the quarterback for that team. When we come back, the whole week led up to this. My best bet, Brad's best bet, and probably a bonus prop from Fez.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So it is money-making time, RJ, as we finish up the week with a busy weekend in the NFL and college football. And it is a best bet to start things off from Brad Powers.
And I'm going to Monday afternoon. Now, this game's going to kick off before we have the Monday Straight Out of Vegas show. And I'm going to take Marshall plus 17.5 in the Gasparilla Bowl. And to me, with a big line here, you got to ask yourself, what is UCF? That's Marshall's opponent. What kind of motivation do they have to get margin here? And I think it's questionable. Why? You look at who UCF's played the last 2 years in bowl games. Auburn, LSU, and now Marshall. a huge step down as far as quality opponent. I do think Marshall's going to be motivated. Why? If you just look at Marshall's football roster, they have Marshall 30 players from the state of Florida. This game's played in Tampa. Marshall's going to be motivated, and I know their head coach, which has a lot of Florida ties, Doc Holliday, will be motivated. Take the big underdog here, the biggest underdog in the bowl season, Marshall plus 17.5, Monday afternoon, Gasparilla Bowl.
Gasparilla Bowl. Now, to me, we talked about this yesterday, is if you like the underdogs typically in the bowls, and when I say typically, I'm going to ask Brad if a number this big would fit into that. But you want to look at the money line too, because historically the percentage of these underdogs that actually end up covering, they win at a much higher rate because there's so much variance in the enthusiasm, the motivation on these bowl games. And you don't even know, it's not like it's obvious which teams are going to be motivated, but if you know that you're going to have higher variance, then you look at the money line. It only makes sense. Would you do that here?
Maybe very slightly, just a very small piece of your bet.
A little sprinkle, as they call it. Yes, a little sprinkle.
Yes.
All right.
RJ, time for your best bet.
Right. I mean, Fez, you graduated from a pretty decent school, right? At least average, Northwestern?
Yeah, I would characterize it as above average, RJ.
Yeah, I've met a lot of people from there. I don't think so. But and for those who haven't, by far the most overrated school in the country. But, Fez, I think, I mean, you're obviously a brilliant fellow. What adjective would you use for how hot I've been with my picks? I mean, is it scorching? Is it on fire? And Frego? I mean, what do you do?
Surface of the sun.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Avert your eyes, everyone. But here we go. I like the Washington Redskins. Washington Redskins. Current number, it's gone down a little bit from what I saw. I think you can get 1.5s. Let's call it 2. And here's why. Washington's at home. They don't have a great home field. So you can say, all right, they're assuming these are even teams. And I think it's fair to say that across the season, the Giants and the Skins are even teams. But you know something? This Giants team, without Eli, without the extra enthusiasm that we saw from the Giants last week. It surprised me how much there was. Give them credit. But they have the opposite now. The mysterious injury. No one talked about, is he ready to go? No one talked about, I wonder how that high ankle sprain is going to be on Mr. Daniel Jones. We all know what went on. They sat him. They wanted Eli to get some starts for the attention, for whatever. And it worked. But now Shurmur is the most likely coach to be fired and literally the most likely substitute teacher kind of feeling here. I just think the Giants are the biggest question of motivation of any team this week. And the Skins, they've been doing really well. I know they lost. They didn't even cover last week. They had literally the best game of any team this year in the NFL that lost. If you look at the DVOA, which is the advanced metric, they had the best game for a losing team of any team this entire year. And remember, they lost against Green Bay. It was a heck of a game. Washington's playing better than people think. Giants are not motivated because of that. I love the Skins.
And RJ, you mentioned it. The line when we started the show was the Redskins minus 1. It's now a pick 'em. So it's
all right.
Moved in the hour.
I love. Listen, Faz would have started going, oh my, I'm going again. No. I'm just looking. I'm looking him square in the eye, saying, "No problem, baby." That means I like it more. Do you like an ice cream cone for $3 more or less than for $4, Jonas?
I like it more.
I like it more when it's 3. Right? Give me pick 'em, and I'm happy.
All right. Well, let's get a bonus prop bet from Steve Ezik.
Let's go to Cleveland. Cleveland's running back Nick Chubb. We're going to go under. And I expect it to be 100 rush yards. I would go under 95 or higher for Nick Chubb. Let's face it, back at the end of September, Chubb ran all over this Baltimore team. It's payback time. Harbaugh will have the troops ready to stop Chubb. And frankly, Cleveland may well be behind big in this game in the second half. Less carries for Chubb as well. Chubb, under 100 rush yards.
Okay, so guys, this is not out yet. So what Fez is giving you is he's giving you a buy price. So he's saying if you can get 100 or better, go under. If somehow, some way you can't get 100 or better, then you don't go under. Right, Fez?
Correct.
All right. So what is your buy price exactly?
I'll buy it all the way down to 95.
All right, so at 95 or higher, under Chubb. Jonas, what a week. No wonder the fastest growing show in FSR, and I think this week really validated that.
Damn right, and if you missed any of the podcast, including multiple best bets and a preview of every single game in the NFL this weekend, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas, back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio, and as always, the iHeart Radio app.